Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to enter into the world of the paranormal. Of ghosts, UFOs, demons, Bigfoot, and generally anything unexplained. We live in a diverse world where we don't fully understand everything that happens around us. These are the topics that we are discussing on Paranormal Horizons. Stay tuned with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang, as we look a little deeper into the world of the paranormal. Paranormal Horizons begins now. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I am, as always, Jason Ophir, here with Sherry Pang, and we're going to delve into the world of the paranormal once again. Sherry, hello.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
Doing okay. And, you know, before we get into the world of the paranormal, we always kind of talk about how our weeks went. How was your week?
Busy, very, very busy. Just been trying to work behind the scenes and just been very, very busy with my work and everything. So how about you? You've been busy with work?
Busy, busy, busy as always, working at the night. It's a tough shift.
So you
shift,
work the graveyard shift.
Well, not quite graveyard. I get off at, I get home at about 1 in the morning, so it's not quite as bad as graveyard. Graveyard's worse, but it still kind of sucks. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. Tonight's open lines, and I'm excited because we try and do open lines once a month, and we're going to you and I are just going to talk about different subjects, and we are also open for readings. If you have a question, if you have one, a psychic question, and you want to read a quick read, go ahead and call us at 1-215-383-399. So it's 1-215-383-3999. I'd be happy to help. So if you have any questions, have them ready. Just have a question ready, and I'd be happy to help you as much as I can. So anyway, what would you like to talk about, Jason?
Well, you know, we already have a caller in, which we can take. So, yeah, like Sherry says, if anybody wants to call in and talk about ghost girls crawling on their ceilings or seeing UFO or anything paranormal, I say let's just not keep this person on hold and see if they have a question or for you or see what's up.
Or share your experience or just questions in general or any comments that how we, you know, we can improve or whatever. Okay, go ahead, put him or her on.
Hello,
hey.
Good evening, everybody. How are you?
Good evening.
Good,
how are you?
Who are you and where are you calling from? Welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Hi, I'm calling from that wonderful state of New York. I live about 45 minutes north of Mordor. New York City.
Mordor.
Oh, New York. Okay.
Yeah. Didn't you ever see Lord of the Rings, that dark city with the clouds and the thunder over it? Never. Yeah, that's New York City. Yeah.
I was going to say.
Wow. How about
I,
you,
I
Jason? I've never been to New York.
I have been to New York. I was a private investigator, and I got sent to New York twice to do surveillance. I did surveillance in the Bronx and all that. And, you know, it's an interesting place. I'm not a big fan of the city part of New York. I went to Long Island. Mm-hmm. That was very nice, and New Jersey was okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's why I called it Mordor. Oh, it's even worse for a lot of us. It's a very hard state to – a lot of your freedoms and everything don't exist. It's a different planet over here. It's very hard to deal with. But anyways, yeah, I just dialed in to listen to see what was the topic for tonight. And so I don't even know what the main discussion was about, or I didn't really have any particular questions. I was just listening in.
Good.
Well,
do you want to share? We're open. I mean, that's what the thing is it's that open lines, you know, that the listeners have their freedom, their take in what they want to express or comment or any questions or anything. So go ahead and do you have anything to share?
Well, not really. I mean, as far as UFOs or psychic or paranormal or what was the main... Or just anything at all?
Lines?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it can be anything. I mean, you know, typically it's paranormal. But I did want to say one thing. I did get the thing when you said Mordor. I actually had me thinking for a second. I was thinking, did I remember seeing any place called Mordor in New York? But I totally got what you were saying.
it's bad. You know what? It's worse for me because I'm licensed concealed carry, and when I drive to Yonkers, my heart's in my throat. I've got to watch every turn I make driving, because if I take the wrong turn and I end up in the Bronx, I'm looking at years in jail. Even though I'm legally licensed and everything else, the laws are so convoluted. Everything is so, it's wrong, but this is just how the state is. I mean, they've got lists out.
You mean each county has their own laws?
No.
Is that correct?
No, New York State has its own law. My license is recognized anywhere in the state, my carry permit. But New York City has its own. They don't recognize New York State law. They issue their own pistol permits for the state, I mean for the city, their own. And if you're, a private investigator, or you're, coming into the, even if you're flying through, and it's happened to many people that are taking a connecting flight, and they end up in JFK, and they have packed away in their baggage, they have a handgun. I mean, they're risking, people have been arrested. Even though they're not staying in the city, no, they'll still arrest them. It's really bad. It's pretty, they have a new gun law that there's a list of about 2 pages long of any drugs that are on this list. And the state police have access now to what prescriptions are written by your doctor in New York State. If you are taking any of these psychotropic drugs, then the state has the power to come, and they do it. They come to your door, they'll take your permit and confiscate all your weapons. And I mean all, any firearms you have, handguns and shotguns, rifles, anything under this new law, they can take it. So if you're taking, say you're an epileptic, and there are drugs on that list for epilepsy, well, they say, well, too bad, you can't have a gun permit in New York State. If you're taking a sedative, even to help you sleep, no, they'll take it. There was a lady last year who had an adverse reaction to a cough medicine, and she went to the hospital for help. And the next day, the sheriff's department was at her door. They confiscated all of her firearms. She took them to court. She won them. She got everything back. But it's bizarre. It's just they've taken everything to the extreme. Governor Cuomo in 2013 created a tip line where you're paid $500 if you turn in your neighbor, and it results in an arrest. Not a conviction, just an arrest.
Wow.
It's in Westchester County, where I am, there's a law on the books that says that the police have the right to do a no-knock search anytime they want, come into your house just to make sure that you're storing your firearms properly. See, all the
county when we were raised in the 50s and the 60s, isn't it?
This is, it's not the country I grew up in. It's not.
I know.
It's not.
It's crazy. I mean,
it's paranoid.
I mean, it's like your personal freedom. And then they encourage you to turn your, you know, guns in. I don't participate. I mean, I don't know anything about it, but I just see it when they have, like, on the billboard. It's a running billboard. Turn your guns in. One of those. Or turn your pills in and things like that. It's like, why are they doing that? Isn't that up to the person? You know, I don't know. Yeah, it's
if they can interpret.
It's questioning the authorities, I should say.
Yeah, if somebody comes forward and says, you know what, I'm really into the paranormal or something else, the state could have you looked at to determine whether you're mentally sound. And if they find anything that's questionable, they could take away your gun permit. Your Second Amendment rights are done until you go through an evaluation or anything else. Everything is up to interpretation. They can interpret the law now, and they do this in many ways, in many cases across the country. It's the game where they can interpret the law the way they want, even though the interpretation is warped. Until somebody takes them to court, they get their way. But not everybody has the money to really take a case to court and contest it. So then it sticks. They do whatever they want. And this is – it's a different planet. It's pretty scary now. I mean, it's gotten to the point that you've really got to be careful what you do, what you say – what you tweet, what you pictures you send on your phone, what you – yes, I know we have Anthony Weiner and we have Wackos. Yes, put them on the side. But, I mean, if you offend somebody, the kids have been kicked out of school. Kids have been – I don't know. Whatever happened to grow up? I mean, you know, I don't know. It's a strange place. But that – sorry to – bug you guys with that. I didn't.
No, you're not bothering us. It's a very good subject. I find that it's very intriguing. And when we have Barry Gott, and he's a friend of ours, I love talking to him because he talks about conspiracy theories, and this is all along the lines in the way of how we're, you know, it doesn't feel like, is it the letter of the law or the spirit of the law? You know, that's one thing to mind your own manners, and there's certain things and not harming people, but when you take another person's control and try and manipulate for, you know, whatever the reasons, control, whatever. I mean, I you know, that's just not right.
No.
It's kind of like
it's not.
New York is like totally draconian gun laws. So is California. I read a story of some lady was just driving through and she forgot a gun in a car or something. And she's looking like it 10 years. I read a, something about the New York City police having these scanners that they drive down the street and they can like look through your clothes to see if you're carrying a gun. And I think that was from a legit news source. And yeah, it's craziness.
It's a different, you know what it is? Instead of going after the criminals and going after the lunatics, what they did is easier to go after the law abiding and create a criminal rather than arrest a criminal. It's easier to just create them and just say, you know what, all these guns, you have 1 year to get rid of anything that we decide is an assault weapon. And when you die, you can't will it to anybody in your family. It either has to be turned into the police. You can own it because you registered it, but it has to be turned into the police or sold out of state.
Wow, really? I didn't know
that.
Yep. Wow. Jason, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I've heard that. I kind of keep an ear out to gun laws. Fortunately, we're in Oregon, which you pretty much can buy whatever, but they are they did recently change a law in Oregon regarding private party sales. You used to be able to just sell a gun to anybody without a background check, but a couple of years ago they made it you have to go to an FFL and get a background check, and I think that those laws are going to spread. I'm big on the Second Amendment and everything. I don't think it reduces crime. Australia couple decades ago had everybody turn in their guns, and I think they still have crime, and I don't know, it's a touchy subject. You're either pro gun or pro not. I'm pro gun. I like to shoot.
I'm very, very pro gun. I mean, you know, it's and I tell, I've gotten into arguments with them, I don't know if with a lot of the anti-gunners obviously, and I tell them that they don't realize that the government, I mean, this started basically with, it was a tsunami wave of paranoia that didn't just cover the Second Amendment, guns. But as far as the guns go, what they did was, it always comes down to money. Federal government and the state, they were subsidizing all these asylums nationwide. It was costing billions of dollars for all of the mentally ill that were out there. And the government was like, we got to find a way to get out of this. It'll cost us a lot less. Close the asylums. We can, you know, there was a wave of deinstitutionalizing. Everybody remember that? They were saying, it's not fair. These poor people, they're institutionalized. Well, yeah, I can get some of the abuses that were happening in it. Yes, I agree. But what they did was, they cut these people loose and they let them live. They let a lot of them live in halfway houses and walk among us in society. And now when they started doing that, we had lunatics living with us out on the streets. And who was playing the part of psychiatrists? The law enforcement. So they were locking them up and putting them in jails. If you have Google in front of you, go to Google and type in, here come the crazies. Just that phrase. Here come the crazies. 2013, Governor Cuomo cut 3,000 or 4,000 lunatics loose, let them free from the asylum, and state psychiatrists came out and said, there's no way that we can monitor these people to make sure they're taking their drugs. The state didn't care. Right after that, we started having people pushed off train platforms down in the city. People getting hit with hammers in the street. But you know what? What's their answer? We need gun control. No, you don't. You need lunatic control and criminal control. Let the police do their jobs. Force the courts to do their jobs. You know, but they saved a lot of money, so who pays the price for that money? We do.
Yeah, to make. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
The world's out of control. Well, I go ahead. Do you want to? Anything else you want to cover, or I can go ahead and put you back on hold.
No, that was about it. I mean, as far as you like, you're saying that with the world is, I mean, myself as a World War II historian. The propaganda that we're fed and everything else, and I can make a lot of parallels because I've studied and collected war souvenirs for 50 years, 55 years, and I loan a lot of items, have been used in books for reference. But, I mean, I see even in Nazi Germany, I've got 3 propaganda radios. They were called people's radios, different styles of them. I have them in my collection. And what the Nazi government did was, they were subsidizing manufacture of these radios to make sure that everybody could afford to get a radio so they could get the BS of the Nazi bullshit directly from
Goebbels.
The radio. Yeah, Goebbels.
Joseph Goebbels.
Goebbels, yep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what people are fed, what we hear on the news and what we hear, it's always good with a grain of salt to just sit back and analyze and look at things twice and say, really, why? Ask the question why and do a little searching before just swallowing the story whole. But that's it. I think I came on your show before and I brought that up once.
Thank you for being aware of that and sharing that. I really appreciate you thinking outside the box and really looking for truth. That's what I appreciate about you.
Oh, I enjoy it. It's always learning. That's basically what it was. But I think I brought it up on your show that if you had a psychic and you blindfolded them and brought them into my collection room, what they would sense. And that would be a great way to actually sort out if they were really psychics, if they really had a gift, or if they knew, because a room that's full of war souvenirs, German, Japanese, French, British, American, if there are vibes, it's going to be in that room. I know that for sure. After what mankind went through in World War II. So,
heard
I
of psychometry?
Pardon me?
You ever heard of psychometry?
No.
Where you hold on an object and you're able to read what's going on with that object?
That would be interesting. I mean, I had one fellow collector on one of the chat rooms, one of the forums, Richard Kimmel. He wrote a book on haunted history. And he told me, he said, Mike, I want you to put a cassette deck in the middle of your room and leave it on record overnight, and you're going to hear voices in the morning. And I said, Richard, I do not need Amityville war souvenir room. Thank you very much. Levitating daggers and swords. It's not my cup of tea. If that ever happens, I think I'll start collecting Beanie Babies. Thank you. But I don't, opening the door and coming to face to face with a guy with a mustache. I don't think I'd be interested in that. But
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
You don't want to open any doors. You know, I'm kind of skeptic about the whole paranormal thing, but I'm not dumb enough to sit around with a Ouija board and try and see if it's actually real or not, or stuff like that. That's dangerous.
Yeah, I think it is. If you don't know what you're doing with it, there's a lot out there that we don't know about. And in our arrogance, human beings, I mean, we're arrogant. And you open up the wrong door, you're going to have a hell of a surprise. But that study you mentioned, that does sound interesting. I think that'd be great if eventually I ever run into somebody that has that gift, that ability to bring them by and see what they sense, put something in their hand that I know the background of, that I got from a veteran, and see what they sense about it. That would be really fascinating.
It's the Nazis, you know, that we got so much technology with them, the Operation Paperclip, all the nuclear scientists, rocketry, they were so far ahead. One of the things that we got from them is controlling the masses. They were great with the propaganda. And so a lot of that is passed on to Western culture, along with technology and all that. And I find it World War II history very interesting. I think when you called a long time ago, I told you that it totally fascinates me. I would absolutely love to see the relics you have from that, because it's really interesting.
If you ever make it back to New York, I mean, you got my number. You can see my number there. Save my number. Give me a buzz. And I'm close to West Point.
Oh, okay.
So that would be easy for you to drop by here and then drive over to West Point.
I'm kind of afraid of New York. I went and got some Chinese. I was staying in Jamaica or Jamaica, Queens, where my hotel was. Jamaica, Queens. It was right by the transit center there. It was a Super 8, I think it was. And there's this little Chinese food place that was right down there, and some really sketchy, crazy guy comes in and tries to sell me a gun while I'm trying to get chow mein.
Crazy. No, that's, you're down in the city. That's a different planet than where I am. I've got a 40mm anti-tank gun deactivated, hooked up to one of my Jeeps. I loaned it out to VFWs, and that's usually parked out front. So I don't have any problems up here. We're not as bad as New York City yet. I hope it never gets to that point. But no, it still has a small town mentality. When you leave, once you leave New York City and start heading up, then you start getting into normal America. Any city has issues. I don't care whether it's New York, Chicago. I lived 11 years in L.A. That was a nightmare. I don't miss that at all. That was really... I mean, I got to see the Northridge quake. I was awake. We were living in Granada Hills, right next to Northridge when that hit. O.J., Rodney, the fires, the floods. So that's enough. I'm headed back east. It's nice. I like to be able to put a glass down on the table and it stays put. It's a nice feeling. It's pretty cool.
I was with
the earthquakes.
Actually, when the Northridge earthquake hit, I was supposed to be at that playoff game at Candlestick Park, but I had traded tickets with somebody else, and I wasn't at that game because I had lived in California at the time, too. That was a pretty nasty situation back then.
Yeah, that was bad. That was pretty bad. But we had gang members looting while people were home right after it.
Wow.
And it was, there's a lot that didn't make it in the news. So, I mean, it was interesting from living on around the country. You get to see all different facets, different sides of humanity, you know, which I wish some of these Antifa and some of these people in the streets burning and destroying now would be able to see. It'd be nice to send them over to Syria and let them see the difference. If they're able to come home. Our country's got a lot of good and bad, like every other country, but it's a beautiful country, and it's something to be proud of. And And, but anyways, enough of the, I'm going to put my fife away and patriotic music. And yeah, feel free, put me on mute and I'll stand by and hopefully some other people call in.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. It was a fun conversation. And I do remember you from last time. So, we'll put you on mute. And I think Sherry wants to talk about shadow people. So thanks for calling in. Sherry.
Thank you.
Shadow people. What's going on with shadow
people? Yeah, I was just trying to find something that we can maybe talk about a little bit. I don't know, with your investigation experience, and I don't know if that would be something that you'd be aware of, but or you've had any confrontations. But I'm going to make this really quick. What you should know about shadow people, and I got the article from, it's called Esoteric Metaphysical Spiritual Database. And I'm just going to go through and run this by just in case anybody calls in or you want to talk about something else, Jason. It says shadow people, known as shadow figures, shadow beings, or black masses, are dark human shaped, typically seen at night, often viewed at the corner of your eye. They are sometimes seen as simple dark patch. Let's start some common features that they have. Many have hats on. Often wearing old-fashioned cloak, are aware of us and react to us seeing them, generally male-like, though gender is not obvious. They can walk through objects, walls, silent. They do not try to communicate or speak. Very tall, not uncommonly 6 foot to 7 foot, but also can be short. Have no visible eyes, although occasionally red eyes have been reported. Very fast, move with lightning speed. When shadow people become visible, we usually notice a mist or fog that comes into view. The black mass begins to take shape of a person or animal form, but without details of human form, without eyes. If the manifestation continues, the shadow person may become a see-through apparition. Shadow people come in different forms, shapes, and sizes, and are different types of them. Here are a few. Number one is lingering shadow people, found lurking in homes, many times in your bedroom. They stand at the edge of your room or in a doorway and just watch. They do not try to communicate. They appear to be observing us. Often, once detected, they will often flee, going through a wall or disappearing around a corner. They usually have a human form, often wearing a cloak and hat. These types of shadow people seem to give us a feeling of fear and dread, although I wonder whether it's just the fear we have from seeing them in the middle of the night or not what they're actually presenting to us. The class of shadow people is known to attach to one individual and have been known to follow them if they move. Number two is the type visiting shadow people. This type of shadow person has their own agenda and is not interested in what we are doing, or they typically go from one place to another and do not seem to care that we see them. These are the at least understood of these types, and as they do not appear to want to interact or observe us. And the last one is called haunting shadow people. This type of shadow person seems to be tied to a place or location. Many times there are more than one at a particular area. It is believed that these types have strong emotional ties to a location where they're found at. They are seen lurking around haunted locations as well. Shadow people are probably one of the most difficult entities to understand, as they are myriad beings that exist in surrounding dimensions, by which are ones that have crossed over from another dimension or ones that are earthbound souls. How to get rid of a shadow person? Pray often helps. Prayer, emotional harmony, positivity, grounding, changing your emotional state, spiritual cleansing, leaving the lights on, as this appears to disrupt the shadow person's energy. So that's what it says.
Have you ever seen a shadow person?
I almost, yes. I don't know if it's a classification of a shadow person, but I've seen at times in my house where I've seen something dark and just kind of fleeting, but I just take it as an entity that's just crossing over in dimensions. And I also have seen an animal, like a cat, in my house that have kind of like just all of a sudden they're there, and then within one split second they're gone. So I just assume that they're, you know, ghosts, even though I don't want to open that door and delve into who are you and that kind of thing. I see it, and I just don't I don't feed into it. So how about you, Jason? I know you have some strange activities or strange feelings. Is that sound like that might be shadow people in your place or something? Or what do you think, Jason?
I haven't seen any shadow people where I'm at now. There's definitely, like I've mentioned before, something going on here in the basement. There's just one corner of the basement that just I have to like rush by it. I don't feel comfortable even looking at it. And I know it wasn't just me too, because when the contractor came in and was installing some phone lines or something, he told the lady that owns this house that he's never coming back because there's something in the corner of the house. But whatever it is leaves me alone, and I'm totally chill with that. I don't want activity. I don't want to see shadow people, but it is kind of sketchy. Now, I've done a lot of paranormal investigations in people's houses. I've never seen a shadow person. I've seen a couple times what would be interpreted as apparitions, but I don't know. I've never really had any contact with any kind of something that I would definitively say was a shadow person. Now, I was looking online, and I saw something, and I think I've mentioned this before a while back, where people have been reporting the Hat Man. Do you remember, have I talked about that before? The Hat Man?
Definitely. I remember that. Absolutely, yes. So are they associated with shadow people, you think, or is this a totally different thing?
Well, I'm kind of wondering, because you mentioned old clothes, and the reason I took interest when this thing popped across my computer screen was I actually have had a run-in with the Hat Man. And I know I've mentioned it before, I think way back, but I didn't know that it was such a common thing, because people are flooding the internet saying, well, they've had a run-in with Hat Man. What it is, it's, you know, it's usually at night and they're at home or waking up or whatever, and they see a guy that's dressed up nice with a round brim hat, and people are just reporting this all over. Well, the one story that I happened to run across was this guy saw the Hat Man in his closet. Now, that took me back to about probably 20 years ago. My father had purchased the Best Western Hotel, and I was the night clerk. And it was cool because the front desk of the hotel behind it was kind of this studio apartment thing. So I was living back there. And one night I woke up in the middle of the night and I looked ahead of me, and there was this man standing half in and half out of my closet with a round brim hat.
Ooh.
And I remember, yeah, but the weird thing is I don't remember being scared. And I remember thinking to myself while I was looking at this person, I need to remember this in the morning, and which makes no sense. Now, there are some possible causes of that. There's something called hypnagogia, you know, kind of these waking hallucinations. So you can't ever really trust what you see as you're falling asleep or as you're waking up or shortly after waking up, because you can have these hallucinations. I've had other ones like that before, where one time I was kind of sleeping in the meeting room, which was close to the front desk, and I woke up and I was watching one of these chairs around this table slide back and forth about 3 feet, back and forth, back and forth. And I'm sitting there watching it. And I think it was one of these hallucinations. That scared me. I ran out of there after watching it for a little bit, and I left the room and went behind the front desk and didn't go back in that room. But so there are those weird hallucination things you can have. I'm assuming it was a hallucination, and I'm kind of suspecting that maybe the Hat Man I saw was, but there's no way for me to know that for sure. You know, but other people are reporting something, things that are very similar, so maybe it is a real thing. Maybe it's some sort of entity.
That could be. there's so much out there we don't understand, Jason. It's just amazing that there are so many different creatures or different, you know, entities that, you know, we're just covering the surface.
Yeah, there's a mysterious world out there. I mean, you know, they discover new things all the time, new species, and new science is always coming out. You go back 100 years, and technology was nothing to what it is today, and science as well. So who's to say? I'm not one to judge. I'm skeptical, but I can't really say that ghosts or hat people or whatever don't exist. I still am a little bit skeptical on Bigfoot. That's one that I'm really kind of don't believe wholeheartedly.
Is that the most you're pretty skeptical about Bigfoot? You know, I've never seen one, but I, you know, there's so many different things that are, like I said, that are out there. It could be, you know, the Hat Man or the Slender Man or Mothman and, you know, all these different creatures. And, you know, I just can't, I seem to think that they're out there. It's just, knock on wood, pray to God. We don't have to literally have to be in confrontation, you know, unless they're of the highest good. But, you know, they're things that we don't, that are out there, like black-eyed children, black-eyed adults, you know, or just weird things that are just bizarre, you know, like the Dog Man. I mean, I posted things on Facebook, and you take it for what it is. It's not my personal, it's just something that's paranormal, something to think about. Is it real or is it not? Is it fake? If it's real, I don't know. But it's just something to be aware of. Is it possibly true or could be fake? I don't know. But let's put it this way. Somebody said, well, there is. They've had a confrontation of them or the Native Americans. They there was one, skinwalkers, you know, those kind of things. You know, I feel that they're out there, but I just, you know, don't want to say, yeah, I'm skeptical or anything because, you know, maybe it's a good thing I don't get a confrontation with them. I'll probably die of of shock or something or die of fear. Who knows?
Well,
but, yeah.
You live out in the sticks, so if you're going to run into any of these cryptozoological monsters, it'll be you, not me.
just pray for protection, that's all.
Yeah.
I know, we get
yeah.
the deer and the elk and... you know, kinds of things, but yes, just stay close to home. don't yonder away too far. But
I get. I'm in the city, so I get the drug users and the gangbangers and all that. I don't have to worry about all these ethereal things. Although I did that one time driving home at 1 a.m. Remember me telling you about that?
Yes, I remember that. That was crazy.
Yeah, I was at a light and turning left on a light, and I'm sitting there watching, not 30 feet, 40 feet away from me, right in front of me, this strangely, oddly shaped mass starts to cross the road, and I'm looking at it, and then it just dissipates. It was really bizarre.
Wow, and you think am I going crazy, right?
I wanted to pull over and investigate it, but there was no real good place to pull over, and of course I was tired and wanted to go home. But yeah, it was like an oddly shaped dark cloud that was just it was weird. It wasn't like smoke. You couldn't really see through it, and it wasn't like
wow.
It was right in front of me, so it wasn't like one of those looking through the corner of your eye things.
Wow,
staring,
that's crazy.
Staring at it.
Yeah, you'd be surprised what kind of stuff there's out there. Wow.
So, yeah, it's interesting. So I've seen, you know, a lot of strange things. Of course, I've seen a lot more strange UFO things than I have ghosts. But, you know, we went into people's houses and, you know, recorded some strange EVPs over the years. I've heard things, whatever, maybe entities say my name, say some really graphic phrases and stuff like that, but I've captured some strange things on, you know, these night vision cameras, but nothing really out of this world. I've never had, when I was doing the investigations, I never had any objects move or seen anything super creepy. But one time we were investigating. When I was investigating, we'd mostly do people's houses. We didn't do a lot of, you know, these public places that all the ghost shows go to. And at one time we were at this place called the White Eagle, which is a very old saloon, and they have, I think it was a brothel back in the day, early Portland history. It was connected to the Shanghai tunnels, and the Shanghai tunnels in Portland kind of run throughout under the city. And what would happen back in the day was these sailors would get drunk and they would get drugged or whatever and taken into the Shanghai tunnels. And the river runs right by the city of Portland. And so they would get drugged and locked up down in the Shanghai tunnels. And then they would get thrown on these ships and basically were used as free labor because the ships would sail. They'd wake up out of their drugging stupor, and they're on a boat. There's nowhere for them to go. So that's why they're called the Shanghai Tunnels. And so this White Eagle place is connected to that, and we were conducting an investigation in the most haunted room. And I know I've mentioned this before, but it is kind of cool. And the minute I got there, I'd walked into this room. I'd walked into the building. I didn't sense anything. Walked upstairs to where the rooms are. I didn't sense anything. And the minute I walked into the room, it just had this strangest feeling of like dread or heaviness or something. And I was thinking to myself when I walked in the room, there is no way I'm going to make it through the night doing this in this room with the way it feels. So then I left, we went down, we ate in the attached or cafe, whatever, below in the bar. And then we walked back up into the room, and it felt totally fine. It was weird, that feeling left, and didn't really experience anything the rest of the night, except for when we were in there in the middle of the night, I heard somebody walking down the stairs, and there's this really long, loud staircase, and it's long. I mean, it's like maybe 30 feet. And the staircase was just outside of the room we're staying in, and start hearing somebody walking down the stairs, you know, thump, 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 really loud. And as soon as I heard that, opened the door, and there was nobody there. I mean, it was obviously somebody was walking down the stairs, so I couldn't explain that.
Wow. Were you scared?
No, I was curious as to, you know, It was just really odd because we're talking about the staircase is, you know, 6 feet away from the door, and there's no way anybody could have.
I'm hearing you guys and just trying to make their presence known to say, hey, I'm here. That's probably that's what I'm picking up is like, hey, we're here. You know, I want to make the night exciting, so I'm going to make some noise.
Yeah, there's no way anybody could have, like, gotten into a room without us hearing it. And yeah, there's just no way. There's no way I was able to prove that it was anything other than paranormal, and captured that on, captured it on audio too. It was interesting.
Oh, that'd be interesting. So, if you have the audio, it'd be cool to be able to share it on the Facebook feed. That'd be awesome if you still have it.
I wish I did. It was on my laptop, and my laptop crashed and it was unfixable, and I lost nearly all of the EVPs I had. So I lost everything.
Wow. That's
gone.
Bummer.
We did one place. It was an investigation that I wasn't able to make it to, but it was out in the country, and they had heard that one of the homeowners or the spouse of the homeowner had a heart attack by this little pump shack thing. So the rest of the team went on this investigation. I wasn't there, and they set up a digital recorder inside the pump house. And when they reviewed it, you could hear what sounded like somebody having a heart attack. It really, really strange stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's like nobody around. It's not like right next to the house. It wasn't near the house. There's no one around. And yeah, it sounded almost like somebody having a heart attack. It was clearly a person in distress.
Oh my goodness. Jeez. Yeah, I'm glad I don't do investigations. I mean, I was telling a colleague today, you know, I really admire her for, you know, being in the paranormal investigations, but it's like, no, thank you. I don't want to go in there. I'd rather help bring closure or comfort or maybe, healing towards people that I, you know, talk to and read. And I don't think I want to open that door up. So,
Let's I just wish that there was some sort of science, because I'm really kind of science oriented. I work in a laboratory and a medical lab, so dealing with all sorts of disgusting specimens. By the way, humans are disgusting, let me tell you. You should see some of the stuff that comes. I have to deal with at work.
Really? Is it really? Oh, wow. Now, do you do anything about, if you don't mind me asking, about tissue organs? Because I knew somebody when I served as a board of director, that one of our board of directors was his job, is that he worked in Portland out of 82nd Tissue, where he would dissect tissues from cadavers. And do you get that? Is that part of your job, too? I'm not to be gross or anything, but is that part of your job to analyze or inspect the tissues or anything like that?
No, that's actually my goal, is to move up into pathology so I could be around more of that. Most of the stuff that we get that I have to deal with is, you know, your basic blood, stool, sputum, you know, swabs, nasty stuff like that. But the pathology is interesting. I know that we get these, this is terrible, but we get like blended fetuses.
Oh,
yeah,
blended.
Blended. Really weird. I don't know what they do with it. There's obviously some sort of testing that's done, but
Trying to be naive, but what does blended fetuses mean? I don't know what a fetus, but what do you mean by blended? What does that mean? It's like it's gone through a grinder or what?
Yeah, exactly. There's some testing that's done. I have no idea.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So what's the purpose of that? Interesting.
I don't know. I never asked. I don't see it very often. It's not. It's not common. I've seen it come through a couple times. But we get a lot of, you know, a lot of the stuff comes to us and then goes to pathology. So we do see, you know, large amounts of tissue, but, you know, we don't sit there and, like, inspect it. We just send it up because we don't deal with it.
Yeah, it's another gamut that, you know, it could be considered conspiracy theories and how there's so many people that can be so sick. And, you know, I mean, this is just my personal feeling is that, you know, I like to see universal health care where, you know, our government, you know, can help each other. You know, people that are, you know, rich can help the poor and balance things out. And it's just my personal feeling because there's so many people that, you know, become so distraught because they don't have medical care. They don't have all the different things that they, you know, they need to be able to survive. And it just the concept is costing an arm and a leg to be born, and it costs an arm and a leg to die. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, between education and being able to be healthy, I think that, you know, if we can have that and serve our people here, you know, to be able to help them and not feel like they're, you know, stressing them out because it's costing them money to educate themselves or become healthy. I think that's, I don't like that. I like to be able to help each other out and be able to better without having to cost an arm and leg. But that's me.
Yeah. Well, health care in this country is outrageously, prohibitively expensive. I mean, it's out of control, and it's a lot cheaper.
And then people get into debt. They have to sell their houses, or you know they can't get under. I don't think that's right. You know, why would that happen? It's just, I don't feel that should be ever happen. You know, people can't afford health care. You know, have the rich people balance it out where they'll help the poor people, or just have universal health care where they're helping everybody out. You know, they're helping people that can't afford or can't afford it, whatever. So it's not an object of whether you can pay for it. If they're sick, they get the care that's needed or the education that's needed. But that, like I said, that's me.
I think that's how it's done in Europe. The downside to that is that people don't get care as fast. Like, I know people in Europe that when they want to see a specialist, it's not, you know, here you can get in within a month usually. But if somebody wants to see a specialist over there where they have this, you know, state-run healthcare, it takes forever, or or there's more restrictions to when you can see one. So I guess that's the downside to that. But yeah, healthcare should be free. And you know,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Education and healthcare. Exactly. Exactly. That's just me. But again, it's my two cents worth. Yeah, I try to be for the underdog and the underprivileged and to balance things out. It's all about balance.
Yeah. Yeah, why can't we all just get along? Why can't everything be rainbows and unicorns?
But it's not. Oh, my goodness. Wish so. I really do. It's pathetic, but I don't know if we can, as people, join together and change, or people that are in, whether it's Congress or the higher-ups, and they can have some, you know, pull instead of thinking about their pocketbooks, just, you know, looking for the common good of everybody instead of putting their ego. I think this world would be a better place. That's how I feel.
No, it absolutely
is. You don't want a country run by psychopaths and narcissists and sociopaths. It's all self-serving. It's being able to be self-serving in a very good way of taking care of yourself and being self-sufficient. But you got the other hand is being able to be mindful of other people and being able to help others and take care of each other, a win-win situation. That's really how I feel. It's a balance of being a win-win. You win, I win, and we all come out winners.
So transitioning that to conspiracy theory, do you believe, you know, there's lots of crazy conspiracies about this Bilderberger group or all these elite people. Do you think that there's an elite, rich, whatever group of people that are really running the show and it's not really the government?
I feel that way myself. There's got to be something going on there that is just not quite right. And I feel that also, too, we're only being fed what they want to feed us. We don't really know the truth. We may dig deeper. But I don't know if you have noticed this, Jason, but there are a couple times where you might go into a site, even whether it's Facebook, it could be just on the Google, and do you notice that certain things that my topics, like just an example, that's not exactly, but just an example about Princess Di. Is there a possibility that she was set up so to be because she died, not a natural accident, let's say, okay? Was there a possibility that she was framed and actually murdered? I don't know. But sometimes, you know, I'm not saying this case. I'm just saying this as an example. If you go and do a little bit more searching, if that's the case, are they really going to disclose that, or are they going to go and sometimes sites will go in, and it's weird because it's almost like it's not clear. It's like it's dark. You know, you have to really strain to open and see it. And it's just, I don't know. I wonder if it is manipulated. I just don't know. I don't want to say yes, but I don't want to say no. I'm open to the possibility, but as far as I'm concerned, I really, you know, part of me, I really don't want to see it because I don't know. I don't want to dig too deep. Maybe something it's not for me to know. So you understand what I'm saying, Jason?
I think that there's a lot of us. It's not for us to know. I mean, the government advertising organizations have found ways dating back to World War II or before to manipulate the minds of the masses. And, you know, there's psyops operations and the military uses. And so who knows what's real and what's not. The government puts out false information. There's false flag attacks. There was a video, an execution video that was widely circulated, and as being an actual video to, I don't know if it was ISIS or not, but they executed somebody, and it turned out to be an actual production from a European production company that was paid by the CIA. So
you
just can't trust
anything
anymore.
It was kind of like a reenactment of something that was not even the truth.
Yeah, it wasn't even I guess you could say, I don't know if I'd say a reenactment. It was an actual production produced to make us believe that these terrible terrorists are cutting somebody's head off when it was completely false. I mean, that's the sort
of
behavior.
Yeah, there's so much bad news like that. I don't read those kind of things. I mean, because I can get really, really, into it and everything. But, you know, I try and keep myself as positive and just kind of keep my mind into the good things in life. Yeah, I can see those kind of things happening. I really can.
How do you do that? Because how do you do that when we're constantly bombarded with nonsense or actual, negative violence and stuff like that? I don't see how you're able to keep yourself grounded like that.
Well, number one, I don't have TV. I don't have TV. And what I do read, I just, when I do read those kind of things, I just pass them through. I don't even go and open them up. You know, I have opened it to see what they look like, and it's like, wow, this is too much. I don't want to get into this. This is with the political agenda, all these other things, it's nice to be aware of it, but you know what? I create my own reality, and I want to create the best reality for myself and the people around me, and that's what I try to be. I'm not perfect, but I'm far from perfect, but I just kind of, in that realm where I just want to try and be as positive and create a good thing for myself and those around me and add value to other people's lives. That's the whole thing. So, some people just get so caught up in this, in that negativity, and you can complain and complain and complain, but what are you going to do about it? You know, you have to have a lot of people in order to change things. You know, it's not just one person. You have to have a lot of people and govern, stick up for what you feel is right. And, it's not about like I said earlier, it's not about the letter of the law. It's the spirit of the law. Yes, the letter of the law, we have rules. I understand and I respect that. We need to have that certain point. But when it's abused, that's where I feel that's no good. You know, you have to have rules, and sometimes you may have to have laws, but I just don't like it when it's abused and taken advantage of other people. So.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Well, it looks like, wow, we are just about out of time. What do we got going on? I know that we're working. We had some technical difficulty. We were supposed to go live on the radio stations, the actual radio stations tonight, but that didn't happen. So it looks like at this point, our shows will be rebroadcast on those stations. So, yeah, that's where we're at with that right now. We tried.
That's okay. Hey, we're going to be rebroadcasted. It happens, and we'll just go with the flow. But the fact is that, it is what it is. And, we still can be rebroadcasted, and we still can be out there and letting our listeners know in other parts of the areas where it's going to be. It's going to be, hey, yeah, we're going to be there. So yeah, I'm happy. I really am. Next week is going to be Clay Faulkner, and we've had him probably about a year and a half now, a little over a year and a half. Clay's been back. He's going to be back talking about palmistry. And how he's going to explain it is something that where it's going to be very visual for your hands. So he's going to teach it like a class and look at your hands, and he's going to show you the different things and what to, what to see, what to notice, and different lines and what they are. I have no idea. I don't even know what a heart line or a lifeline. So it's going to be interesting to have Clay back and look at it from a different perspective instead of, he's going to try and teach it to us as we look at our hands on air next week. So I'm looking forward to having that.
I just got a funny visual of the listeners, everybody looking at their hands while we're doing the show. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's going to be very visual. And I know Clay will be accepting any viewer call-ins or, listener call-ins. So, yeah, that would be awesome. I'm looking forward. He's really very well-versed in that, and he's very good at what he does. So we're going to have him back.
Awesome. Well, with that, I want to thank our listener for calling in. And we've got a little good chat about what's going on in New York and how it's just really not a gun-friendly state. And one thing I wanted to say about New York, one of the things that I enjoyed when I was in New York, obviously the pizza, because the pizza is awesome. But when I was doing surveillance, I'd have to, you know, go get lunch. And it seemed, and they have these really quirky convenience stores. It's really weird. You just have to see them. But they all had these little delis in them. So I would go and get my sandwiches there. And it's just the most amazing sandwiches just out of these convenience stores. Yeah, best ever.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, yeah.
Does it really is it really something special compared to the West out here?
Yes. Well, you go to a convenience store here, they don't have that. They have these prepackaged sandwiches, but it seemed like every convenience store I went to was like had a little mini deli in it, and they used boar's head meat, which is a good meat, and it was just really cool. So I thought that was one of the neat things I did like about New York, and my experience there wasn't terrible. The worst thing that happened to me there was I was following my GPS and I had to go, I don't even remember. It was like upstate New York. Anyways, I made the mistake of following my GPS and it took me through Manhattan. And I think something was going on. And I swear to God, to get through each light was like 45 minutes. I was on the verge of a panic attack. Can you imagine just one light? To
wow. 45
another, like,
minutes.
It's like a block
light.
Or two. Oh, it was. Yeah, I seriously was about to have a total psychotic meltdown. And the drivers are very aggressive. If you look at people's cars in the city, you'll notice scuffed bumpers and dents. And I saw people, like, bouncing off each other. It's just a wild place.
Wow. You could have ran or even walked faster than just just going from one stoplight or to the other, huh? That's
yeah,
crazy.
And they were, like police at every stoplight doing traffic. I don't know if it's like that every day. Again, I think that there was something going on, but it was just I was traumatized. I would never, ever, ever, ever go to Manhattan again because of that.
Wow.
Anyway.
So next week we're going to have Clay Faulkner again, like I was saying before, with the palmistry. And the week after, we're going to have Brian Ouellette. He was just on 2 weeks ago. Is it 2 weeks now? Yes, yeah, been 2 weeks now. He was on Paranormal Adventures. Is that what it is? Paranormal Adventures with Zach.
Ghost Adventures.
Yeah, Ghost Adventures. I'm so sorry. Yes, it aired last Sunday. I got to tell you, everybody, it aired last Sunday. Ghost Adventures with Zach. And he's going to come back in two weeks, and he's going to talk about that. So we're going to talk about his exorcism and how it was, and apparently that the family is not having any more disturbances. I saw the whole thing on the show. It was very interesting. It was really good. I'm very proud of him. So he'll be back in 2 weeks.
And in August, you did an amazing job and got the one and only Clyde Lewis to come on the show, which his show, Ground Zero, is broadcast all over the country. He's a huge radio show host, so I can't wait
right.
for that.
Clive is coming on August 6th, so yes, he wants to be on our show, and he's going to be on at August 6th, and we'll just push around, we'll move around. We'll move open lines later on during the month. But yes, Clive Lewis is going to be on August 6th, so we're excited to have him. We got many, many wonderful guests. I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening, and thank for the caller for calling in and giving us something to talk about. And with that, I guess we'll close the episode and hope everybody has a fantastic week.
Take care, everybody. Peace.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.